2, Revelation chapter 1. We've been looking at the I Ams of the Bible. Two lessons left, okay? Now, next week is the week before the crucifixion week. So we're going to look at the schedule. Next Sunday, we'll break the pattern here. And we do it every year, but we're going to look at the timeline of when Jesus was crucified. And we'll learn there's nothing good about Friday. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday and how the Bible teaches that. And we'll go through and it's all in the handout. And so that's next Sunday. And then of course the one after that's Resurrection Sunday. And then we'll have the last lesson, on the I Ams of the Bible. So, as we look into this, I updated this list, where Jesus said, in reference to God saying, I am that I am, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. And how important, every word in your Bible is important. And why is it there? And God is teaching you about himself. And so when you start looking at all of the I Ams, this is just what Jesus said. All right. There's more I Ams you could say in the Old Testament. We looked at a few of them, but how important this is. We spent 3 weeks on John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And last week we looked at how Jesus is the life. And we'll look at here this morning. Jesus said, I am he that liveth. Well, when you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, where it's taken out of, when you look there, it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. You think, wow, that's awesome there. Jesus is saying, I am, verse 17, verse 18. But look over at verse 8. There's three times in chapter Revelation 1 where Jesus says, I am. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Then look at verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. And he said, then send it to the churches there, and he lists them. Here's what's interesting. There's one other chapter in the New Testament where Jesus says three times, I am. One of those was John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I am the door, John 10:9. Then, two verses later, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. And then towards the end of the chapter, Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Now, we looked at all three of those, but there's one chapter where Jesus says three times, I am God. I am the Almighty. So now you come to Revelation 1, and that's the other chapter where Jesus says three times, I am. You say, why? I think this is so important. When you hit Revelation chapter 1, and I'll go through it with you, but why three times in Revelation 1? Here's an overview of Revelation, okay? Revelation chapter 1, Revelation 21 and 22. Where are we? We're right here. You've got the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Then Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture. But isn't it interesting? Before you can know what a good church is by what Jesus says is good, you have to know Jesus first, right? So Revelation 1 is Jesus saying, this is who I am, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. So you can know Jesus first, because you can't tell what a good church is until you know Jesus first. Then the church is taken out. So Revelation 1, the foundation is laid as knowing Jesus. What does he say there in chapter 1, verse 8? I'm just going to work through it here. I am Alpha and Omega. First of all, what's Alpha? First letter of the Greek alphabet, right? I don't read Greek, don't study Greek. I don't even reference Greek when I read my Bible. I use a good English dictionary because I have a King James Bible. But Alpha's first letter in the Greek alphabet, 22 letters later, we have 26 letters. But the Greek alphabet is 22. And so Omega is the last letter. Now, why is that important? Because our Savior is going to tell us He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the first and the last. That means God is saying, I think, a couple things. First of all, before Him, there was nothing. You say, well, what was before God? Without God, there's nothing. And God always was, but He doesn't dwell in time. We do, right? We deal with yesterday, tomorrow, and today. So kind of a deep thought there. But there was nothing before God, and there'll never be anything after God. He's the first and the last and everything in between. To give you another picture of that, if there's 22 letters or 26, Greek alphabet, English alphabet, whatever you want to use, to show you the eternity of I am Alpha and Omega, how many words can you come up with 22 letters? You say, well, about, 300,000. A lot more. It's exponential, right? It's a way of saying eternity. Because as soon as you're done spelling words, let's take the English alphabet for a second. Spelling English words, okay? Now let's spell Spanish words. How many Spanish words can you spell with the English alphabet? Now how many? I know you've got your Bulgarian language, and then you've got your Oriental with the figures, Chinese and Japanese. Stick with a kind of the Phoenician background there, but it's eternal. I am Alpha and Omega and all the possibilities. I am eternal. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the ending. And you only find Alpha and Omega four times in your Bible. All of them are in Revelation. Okay? But what do you find all through your Bible? And just take a glance at it real quick. Go to Isaiah 41 verse 4. You will find the phrase, I am the first and the last. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 4. You know why this is, I think if you aren't careful, you know how come this can get boring? Because we can't relate to it. Like when Jesus said, I'm going to save you forever, everlasting life. None of us know what that means. I mean, to us, what were you doing 70 years ago? You know what I mean? What were you doing 60 years ago? And when Jesus said, I'm going to save you for eternity, none of us can relate to eternity. It's wonderful. We praise God for it. We're thankful for it. But do you really understand it? Probably not. So watch this. Look at Isaiah 41 verse 4. We'll just look at two verses. This is really throughout your Old Testament. But Isaiah 41 verse 4 says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. Go ahead and go over to chapter 44 and look at verse 6. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. What a wonderful verse, right? Now, there are other gods, small g, O-D-S, devils, but there's only one almighty God, eternal God. Who is over all? That's going to be Psalm 83. We could go to other, but Psalm, the first and the last, is a phrase you're going to find in the Old Testament. Alpha and Omega is only found in Revelation. Now, go ahead, now that we've looked at this, go back to Revelation 1, and we'll just spend a little more time on this, and then we'll get into the, maybe you could say, the practical application. Revelation chapter 1, and at the end of verse 8, Revelation 1:8, Jesus says, which is and which was and which is to come. Okay? So another eternal statement, him saying that he always has been, he was, he is, and he's what's to come, present, past, future, all in the present. And one more thing. Somebody asked the question, where did Jesus say, I am God? Okay. I think he said it a lot. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. But somebody said, where did Jesus say, I am God? And my answer has been Revelation 1:8. Because at the end of the verse, what's it say? It starts with, I am the Almighty. That's Jesus saying, I am Almighty God. Wasn't that interesting verse, Isaiah 44, verse 6? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, and the Lord his Redeemer. Amen? Two lords? God? Trinity? Right? Three in one? One over, but yet the same God that bought us and died for us? Okay, so where do you use that? Probably I use that the most, Revelation 1:8, I am the Almighty, with Jehovah's Witnesses, if I'm witnessing to them. Jesus said he was God in the flesh. Many times, I can do 1 John 5:7, I can use others, but I think that's important. Go to verse 11 now, and you're going to find our Savior repeating himself, saying, verse 11, I'm a Revelation 1:11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And so you have these statements here in Revelation 1:8 and 11. Then in verses 17 and 18, Jesus is going to expound more. And so look at verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Can I just give you a thought? This is John seeing the risen Savior for the first time. And you know what his response was? He fell at his feet as dead. Do you know what we're going to do when we see Jesus for the first time? We're going to do the same thing. Daniel did it. John did it. Isaiah did it. And we'll do it. To see him who died for us risen, we'll have the same response. We'll fall at his feet as dead. Right? And then watch this. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. What's so important about that? Who's the first person in the Bible that dies and is resurrected again? That would probably be the widow's son. If anybody else has any other thought, remember Elijah? What now? Anybody? Okay. So you got, the widow's son, he breathes on him three times and his breath comes back into him. Well, the whole thing about anybody who died in the Bible that was brought back to life, Lazarus, right? New Testament comes out 4 days later. Behold, Lord, he stinketh. All of that. The rough part about being resurrected is you got to die again. Jesus is announcing here, I am he that liveth, and I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I'm the only one who will never die again. Right? So as a way of saying he conquered death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where's the victory? And so in Jesus, he that liveth. And if you take that one concept, and I just love thinking about this, where is the founder of any religion that conquered death and rose again? There isn't any. You've heard me say it before. What are you researching religions for? There's only one that died for you. There's only one that rose again and conquered death. There's nothing to research. Amen? So he that liveth, he is the one that conquered death, and he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Then the last part of verse 18 says, and have the keys of hell and of death. Well, that would be in reference to a location, right? And death, hell, would be where the soul goes. That would be in reference to the soul. And death would be in reference to the body. So when people die without Christ, their body goes in the grave, but their soul goes to hell, right? So Jesus said, since he died on the cross, he's the one that has the keys to that location, right? As far as, and that's a little Bible study on hell leading there, but he's the one. He said, fear not them which can only hurt your body, but fear him which after he hath killed your body can destroy your soul in hell. Fear him. Okay. I love that statement. Had somebody come yesterday. I got to witness to him here at the church. And I said, where do you go to church at? He goes, oh, I haven't been to church. I think he said he went to, Immaculate Conception when he was 10. And, he was pointing to me. I said, right up here. And he said, yeah, Immaculate Conception. He said, I had to go to church that morning and then I had to pull tobacco, leaves that following day. And he said, after that, I never want to do either one of those again. And, I was like, okay. So, so I witnessed to him and I told him out here and I said, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. Dying without Christ is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And he went, yeah, you're right. Food for thought. He didn't get saved, but I was trying to witness to him and tell him, you know, how important it was. And Jesus is he who has the keys of hell and death. And so in seeing who Jesus is, this morning's Sunday school lesson is where Jesus said, I am he that liveth. What does that mean? Come on in. We got a seat for you up here. We got a seat for you here. Come on in. Come on in. We won't point you out or embarrass you or nothing. Isn't that horrible? Yeah. What's your name? Good to meet you, Deshaun. Good to meet you. What's your name? They did. Okay, good deal. Good deal. Good to have you. We're in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. So when Jesus said, I am he that liveth, he was in reference to the resurrected Savior. So here's what we did. In your Sunday school lesson, it has some of these points. I reworked them. But the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, the only one who rose from the dead, that resurrected life, he that liveth to me is first of all our eternal security. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Go ahead and go there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. Okay. Now we use verse 8 when we're telling people about the Lord. Okay. God commendeth his love toward us, or proved his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse number 10 is what I want to show you, but let's just read verse 10, 9. Ready? Much more then, being now justified or saved by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So Jesus' blood is what saves us from hell. When you trust Jesus' blood, it washes away your sin. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. What's the word reconciled mean? Brought together in friendship. So if when... What was I before I got saved? An enemy of God. I was at war with God. An enmity in my mind. Okay? So God says before, if when you were an enemy of God, you were reconciled or brought together in friendship by what? What's the verse say? By the death of his son. So if Jesus dying on the cross made it possible for you to be the friend of God and the son of God, those two words, much more in verse 10, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So what's the resurrected life of Jesus when he said, I am he that liveth? He's saying, I'm the one that can save you because I died for you, but because I'm the one that lives, I'm the one that keeps you saved. Much more. If my death on the cross would save you from hell, then how much more would my resurrection keep you saved now that I'll never die, never again, right? Risen from the dead to never die again. So what is he that liveth? When Jesus said, I am he that liveth, I think first of all, he's saying, I am eternal security. I am the one that when I save you forever. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad I'm not put on probation. When you trust the Lord. Somebody said, you can't teach people that. If you teach people they're saved forever, then they'll live any way they want. Okay. I think, first of all, I think people who talk that way, did you know we have, the Bible talks about secret sins? We have so many things wrong with us. God hasn't showed us all of our sins. If he showed us all of our sins, there's enough there to depress anybody, right? I have things wrong with me that God hasn't even shown me yet, right? Because I probably couldn't handle it. I'd be like, no hope there, you know, right? So when somebody says, if you teach people God saves you forever, they'll live any way they want. Your concept of sin and your concept of the holiness of God, I think, is really off. All sin offends God. You say, how can I pray? Because the blood of Jesus Christ lets me come into his presence. You say, how can I live the Christian life every day? Because the blood of Jesus Christ lets me come and I can boldly ask for help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. No, when you're saved, you have to be saved forever. Here we go. Because if you could do something to lose it, then what did you do to get it? And if you could do something to get saved, that's not Bible salvation. It's a gift, right? So you have to be careful when people say that. Well, yeah, but if you, here's a classic. You know, we're in a Catholic area. And people say, yeah, but if you commit suicide, you automatically go to hell. That's a Catholic teaching, okay? Let me analyze suicide with you. I'm not for suicide, but suicide is self-murder, okay? It's self-rejection to the point of self-murder, okay? I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying David murdered Uriah to cover a pregnancy after he committed adultery. To me, I see no difference. In other words, there's nothing in the Bible that teaches if you commit suicide, you're automatically going to hell. That's just a what we would call a logical, you know what I mean? It makes sense up here, but there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that. No, now that I'm saved, much more shall we be am I saved eternally by his life? And when Jesus saved me, he didn't save me till I sin again. Then I got to get resaved. He didn't do that. He said, I give you everlasting life, eternal. Three words Jesus used to describe salvation. Eternal, everlasting, and forever. Right? And it wouldn't be forever if it stopped when you sin. Amen? So, what is he that liveth? I am he that liveth and is alive forevermore. First of all, I'm your eternal security. What else? The resurrected life of Jesus is our advocate. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, look at verse 1. Ready? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Okay, period. So, okay, I'm supposed to battle sin in my life. I'm supposed to fight what displeases God. And as you love God, you learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. But I'm to try to not to sin. He said, I'm writing unto you that you not sin not. But we all know you can't live without sin, right? There's no such thing as a sinless Christian. Watch this. I'm only sinless in heaven. My position before God when I'm washed in the blood of Jesus is without sin in heaven. But down here in this body, I have a nasty flesh to deal with. My flesh is wicked. And I have to deal with it every day. And I have to deny myself every day. So he said, I'm writing to you that you sin not. But then watch this. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm so glad Jesus died for everybody. Verse 1 says, we have an advocate with the Father. If you do sin, which you do, which I do, it's not a justification for my sin. But when I sin, God says, we all, if you're saved, you have an advocate. What's the word advocate mean? Four times the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. It's the same word used for comforter. An advocate is someone who speaks for you. You could think of it as a defense lawyer in court. So when you sin, what does the devil do? Revelation 12, he accuses. Did you see what they did? See what they just did? See what they said? And our advocate, Jesus Christ, speaks for us saying, Father, I paid. This is what I paid. I paid it all. I said on the cross, it is finished. I've paid everything they owe. So as the devil accuses us, Jesus is speaking for us saying, that's my child. They've trusted me as their savior. Their sins are, and so we have a pleader or someone who speaks on our behalf. So when Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am your eternal security. Because I'm alive, your salvation is not temporary. And because I'm alive, you have someone to speak for you when you sin. Isn't it wonderful to know when you sin, if you're saved, all your sins were put on Jesus' record. Romans chapter 4, Psalm 32, right? Imputed, recorded. All your sins were put on Jesus' record, and all of that Jesus is was put on your record. You want to get real specific? According to Romans 4, God said he won't impute sin to you if you're saved. When I sin, I deal with consequences here on this earth, but it doesn't go on my record in heaven, right? The Bible teaches that. Let me give you an illustration. So you think you can live any way you want and still go to heaven? If you want to be happy, you have to live according to the book. But did you know you can live according to the book and be happy and be lost without trusting Christ? I've met people that do that. Okay. I'm not totally for the Amish, but go talk to them. There's a lot of stuff they don't do. They think no electricity, none of this. Okay. Fairly hardworking people. Okay. Nice people. I'd say pretty disciplined. I don't think any of them are lazy. I don't think you can call them lazy, but they're lost. They're like bad lost. So they're real religious. But Jesus doesn't have anything to do with their salvation. Ask them. Ask them. It has everything to do with the bishop of their... It's a cult. That's best you can say. So your salvation... Here we go. When you sin... It's not written under your name in heaven. It's written under Jesus' name. If I mistreat my wife, I'll pay for it on this earth. Okay? Mistreat her too much. The Bible teaches against that. Mistreat her too much, you'll be paying alimony. Amen? So, the husband's supposed to treat the wife right, like the weaker vessel. Okay? But you pay for it down here on earth. You don't, that's called consequences. For wrong. Okay? But up in heaven, your sins aren't written. You say, how come? Jesus is our advocate when he saves us. I am he that liveth, and behold, I am alive forevermore. That's a wonderful truth. Here we go. Another one. Ready? He's also our intercessor. Go to Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Neat verse. I hope you have it marked in your Bible. Wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So I love that statement. The apostle Paul, after killing Christians, was saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. I know it rhymes, but it's cute, okay? But it's a good, we're saved. I'm so saved, you can't get any more saved than I am when I trust Jesus Christ, right? 36 years ago. If you're saved, you're so saved, okay? To the uttermost, watch, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What's the Lord Jesus doing right now in heaven? He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. He's praying for you. Isn't that wonderful? I used to hear Brother Hiles say, if I could have any person praying for me on this earth, it'd be Miss Beverly Hiles. It'd be my wife. Well, isn't that wonderful thought? What's Jesus doing? He's interceding or praying for us. Father, help them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, please be with them as they do this. Lord, help them with this. Jesus is praying for you because he ever liveth. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. What else? He is our mediator. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, in a Catholic area, this is probably a very powerful verse, very helpful verse, but where priests are stressed, and last Sunday night we learned what? Jesus is our high priest, and we are priests when we get saved. That's how come in a Baptist church, there are no priests. When you come in, there's a pastor, there's people, but there's no priests. You say, how come? Because if you're saved, you become, in other words, you have a direct hotline link to God when you get saved. You're a priest. There's nobody you have to go through anymore. And what's it say in 1 Timothy 2:5? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is our mediator, our go-between. He's the reason, I love this, because he ever liveth, I can pray anytime. Yes, God's house is called the house of prayer, but I can pray when I walk. I can pray when I kneel. I can pray at my house. I can pray in my car. He's the mediator. I can pray anytime. I can walk with God anywhere, anytime, because he ever liveth. He's the mediator. Isn't that wonderful? How about a few more things here? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Colossians chapter 1. So in the I ams, when Jesus is saying, I am he that ever liveth. I'm him that is always alive. What does that mean to me as a Christian? What does that mean to me as a child of God? Colossians 1:27. We're going to add to the list here, watch this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why is that important? Because in the Old Testament, God didn't live in people. He came on them and left, came on them and left, like Samson, right? The Spirit of God came on him and then left. But in the New Testament, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, he comes in, you become the dwelling place of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Now, with Colossians 1:27, go to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 4. Because he ever liveth, ready? What a neat statement, how God puts it here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now that he lives inside of me, because he ever liveth, he's my new life. When you leave here, and you know, I think it's so dangerous to teach, you know, well, this is church. You got to behave this way in church. If you're saved, God lives inside of you, and he's with you at work. He's with you at your house. He's with you. He's with you everywhere. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have a relationship with God. And he said, now I'm he that is alive, and I want to be your life. Who is Christ, who is our life. I have nothing without him. I am nothing without him. Everything I touch turns to manure. The only thing that helps me is my yieldedness to the Lord when I let God work through me. But every time I get selfish, every time I get proud, everything crumbles, right? He is supposed to be our life because he lives inside. Can we do one more? He'll be our welcome to heaven. Go to Philemon chapter 4, right before Hebrews. Verse 14. There's only one chapter. Sorry. Philemon, look at verse, I know we're coming to the end here, and I'll probably close with this, but because Jesus is he that ever liveth and is alive and will never die, he's our welcome to heaven. In the book of Philemon, Philemon owned Onesimus, the slave that ran away, that got put in jail, that Paul led to the Lord while he was in jail. Then he sends Onesimus back to Philemon saying, receive him as myself. Okay. And so here's the story. Ready? Look at verse 15. For perhaps he, Onesimus, therefore departed for a season that thou shouldst receive him forever. Talking to Philemon. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. In other words, he said, you know why he ran away? Because it was God's plan that he meet me in jail so I could lead him to the Lord. So now he can come back to you, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. Someone with the same heavenly Father. Okay? Isn't that neat? Watch this. And then he says, but now much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Watch this. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. What a beautiful statement. I have that circled in my Bible. When God sees you, when you get saved, he sees you through the blood of his Son. He doesn't see me. He sees the blood that was shed for me. God sees none of my sin. And I'm received as Jesus. Receive him as myself. And Jesus is pleading, right? He's our advocate. He pleads for us because his blood washes away our sin. You know what Jesus says to God the Father? Receive them as myself. God receives. He's our welcome to heaven. We're received as Jesus Christ. Beautiful story of Philemon. I wish I could take you to Romans chapter 3. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and I'll never die again. Behold, I'm alive. What does that mean to me as a saved child of God? It should be a rejoicing point. It should be something that I'm glad about. Hope this helps you. God bless you. Gang, we need to get those back tables folded up, and we'll have junior church back there if you can help us with that. And I'll see you in the auditorium here in just a minute. This is the end of Sunday school. We'll get my